Going to have you turn to two different places, Luke chapter 2 and also the 2 Peter chapter 1. Luke chapter 2 and 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to preach something today. I'm going to call it Witnesses of His Majesty. Witnesses of His Majesty. And we're going to read the story of course, the birth of Jesus Christ today. And it really draws in when you think about the testimony of the disciples, the witnesses of His Majesty, and because really, as I try to stress so often, you know, as we bear witness to the world about Jesus Christ, we're not going out with a doctrinal argument. We're not going out to argue facts and principles, and we're witnesses. Well, God means for us to be witnesses of something we've actually seen, you know, and so, and as you'll see in Peter. It's the majesty of Jesus Christ, and when this testimony is here, is given, of the birth of Jesus Christ, it's amazing how basically they bore witness of the majesty of this birth. But in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1, you'll notice that the word of God, that it does say this, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's why I wanted to preach that too. Actually, I just wanted to preach the whole Bible today, but I don't know how quick I lose most of you, especially if I said, we're going to go from Genesis to Revelation, but thank God. Verse 11 again, because it's a great verse. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. If you're saved, that's good news. And if you're not saved today, that's still good news. Because this day, the Savior is available to you. And it's Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest. They were witnessing the majesty of Christ being born. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen, had heard and seen as it was told them. They were bearing witness of the majesty. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1 and 2 Peter chapter number 1, notice what the Bible says beginning in verse number 16. It says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Our Heavenly Father, you know what you like to do. So please work through the hearing and work through the preaching to accomplish your perfect will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Two amazing passages of scripture. I love reading about the birth of Christ because as we shared in the testimony time, just so many things were born. Hope was in Christ. A Savior was born, you know, and God knows the world needs a Savior. And I know that person because I sure did need saving back in 1993 and even before then. And thank God he saves. But as you think about the magnitude, everything that's taking place, the shepherds knew the prophecies, and these things were happening. And they had such joy going back. Because I want you to think what happened here. When they witnessed, they knew, they heard of these things through the scriptures, and they personally experienced the reality of the truth of the Word of God taking place in their own lives. These things were prophesied, and they went back with great joy testifying of these things. And what God wants to work today, that's to me, when I think about it, that's why to me the Christmas time or the whatever time you want to call it, when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, is such an amazing time. Because for me, I'm a witness of that majesty because of being saved by the grace of God. Seeing the prophecy of how Jesus was born, came to this world, and Jesus was preached. And as Jesus was preached, men believed on Christ and trusted in Christ, and seeing that in the Bible and hearing it from other people's lives, and then having a day in my life when the Word of God was preached unto me and hearing the reality of Jesus Christ, that he died for my sin, that I didn't have to work for it anymore, that I didn't have to pay my own debt. Jesus paid that debt. And then that day, as I turned from me in repentance and faith on Christ, I became a witness of the majesty, because what I saw in the Word and what I heard in the test, I personally believed it, and so I can go out and testify the majesty of the glory of Jesus Christ. And it's, I don't have to, even for myself, when I talk about the great joy of salvation, you know what? See, when you witness the majesty of something, you know something, there's no argument that can overtake that. Do you know that there's no doctrinal argument that can overtake what Christ has done in my heart and in my life? There's not one under the sun. And see, that's what God is working and wants to work in the life of the people of his churches. That's what we're supposed to testify of. And see, that's why there must be a clear confrontation with God, a clear salvation testimony. What religion has done through the years is create a bunch of principles that say, well, okay, if you do this and you do that, you must be okay. Oh, you said this prayer here, you did this, you act like this now, you look like this now, so you must be okay. But no, that's not what the Bible is saying. He said, we're not following cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But hey, we were witnesses. Hey, we're not telling you some fable or something we heard. We were witnesses of the majesty of him, of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so a few things I want you to notice about witnesses of his majesty. Number one, witnesses of his majesty testify of the power and coming, now notice this, of their Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know what the Bible says here, and we read it already, verse 16, it says, but we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a fact that Jesus is the Lord of everything. But it's a better fact when you and I can say from our heart, no, he's our Lord. He governs me. You know, because a lot of what religion does, you know what I found out through the way I used to probably live the first half of my Christian life? A lot of this Bible is good for telling people how they need to fix their life. And it's easy to take a principle sometime and look at the problems of the world, but that's what they ought to be doing. And that's what they ought to be doing. That's what they ought to be doing. And I said, but the reality is, no, this is what I ought to be doing. This is for me. You know, it's all for me. Every message I preach is just as much for me as for everything else. But these witnesses, they testify of the power and the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're born again today, is Jesus powerful? Have you experienced his power in your life? Is there some measure of Christ experiencing the forgiveness of sins? I testify of it often because it was just so powerful to me when Vladimir got saved. I mean, just sensing the gravity in his heart. And he said, will he forgive me of all my sin? And when he called upon Jesus, he said, God, through Jesus, forgive me of all my sin. and I kind of believe he did it. I don't know, but I don't know his heart, but I know if Vladimir was sincere, he did it. Amen. And you could hear in Vladimir's heart when he got deported and he ended up in Ohio, he called me back from Ohio testifying of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. And I'm here to tell you, he's also coming again. And he's coming again for me because he's my Lord. And if you're his child, you have that same testimony. See, the great thing is when you testify of him being your Lord, I can say something like he's coming back for me, and you're not sitting there thinking, oh, why didn't he include me in that thought? Because you've been a witness of the majesty. You said, and you're just thinking, me too. Whether he said it or not, don't matter. Me too. But that's what witnesses of his majesty do. This is nothing we have to kind of program. Remember, you know what? I see. Okay, now, what was that prophecy back in Isaiah that talked about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? We need to talk to somebody. Now, it's good to try to remember those things. And we need to know the Bible. But when you go out and witness the majesty of God, do you know what? The people that really know me, they know what matters to me. And they know what's important to me. You know, they know by what I witness of, by what I bear witness of. Number two, witnesses of his majesty have heard God's voice regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. Witnesses of his majesty have heard God's voice regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And notice this, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. If you are witness of his majesty, you can testify of a time where you know that you heard God calling you. You know, I didn't get saved the first time I heard the gospel. But the Wednesday morning in 1993, when I was born again, I heard from God that day. Same scriptures I'd heard before, but that day, it started on Sunday night when Pastor Hardy was preaching. I knew that the Spirit of God was talking to me and that you need to give your life to Christ and stop living for show, stop trying to please people and trying to earn your own salvation. I recognized it that day when God was speaking to me, and it was such a clear thing. And see, when you know you've heard from somebody, it's a lot easier to witness of that. See, the salvation of the Lord is a personal experience with Jesus Christ. And when you talk about majesty of the greatness and the glory and the splendor, that's what majesty is. See, this is not just a casual event we're talking about. Say, we're not repeating some fable that sounded good about something. You know, when I was a kid, I guess it's Greek mythology, and one of the characters you liked was Ulysses. You know, and he was I can't remember the storyline about him, but he was basically being strong and being a hero. And you know, I always struggled in my life wanting to be the hero, but I liked hearing about the story of Ulysses. But you know, that's a fable. That's not true. And I can talk about the story of Ulysses, and I could probably take some principles from the character that was taught in that fable that would be applicable, that would actually produce some degree of semblance of earthly victory. But see, what I witness of now is not some coming devised fable. I know what it's like to be hopeless and helpless and to not have life, and to be resurrected by the power of Jesus Christ and the grace of God. I know it's like to make my best religious effort, trying to take confidence in myself and wanting to live religiously in such a way to where I could be glorified from it and fall on my face and realize that it's only the grace of God. And it's meant to be by the grace of God. The strongest thing we have in life is the grace of God, because that's the power of God. Now, in Matthew chapter 17, hold your place in 2 Peter. We'll turn back there in a second. But I want to read what they're testifying here about the voice that they heard from God. In Matthew chapter 17, I love this. Matthew 17 and verse number 1, the word of God says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them apart into an high mountain. Bringeth them into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. Now, I want you to know that was something. being in the presence of Jesus Christ, and they already witnessed something, but I was like, whoa, what's happening to Jesus? kind of like when Moses came down from the mountain, and the Bible said his face shone, and they were afraid of him, you know. And it says in verse 3, Matthew 17, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when his disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Now, I love this. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, it is I. Be not afraid. And when he lifted them up, their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Now, this is an amazing statement here next. Always amazing when Jesus says things like this. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. You know, and I recognize something. Jesus wanted people really to be drawn to him by faith in who he was, not just manifestations of power. You know, because everything about the way he lived and what from what they knew of the scriptures showed forth that he was the Messiah. But if they would have testified about the light that shone everything, people would have been drawn to him because of some magnificent earthly type of power. You know, and they had the reality. I was telling somebody the other day, I can't remember who it was. I said, you know what the reality, you know, Jesus obeyed God. And the reality is about the life of Christ. When Jesus obeyed God, it didn't help him in his life, really. In fact, it ended his life. Because I told somebody one day, they were saying, mind me doing something. I said, no, well, God taught me something this year. That's probably the most victorious thing I've ever happened in my life. Everyone, you know, is more valuable dead than they are alive. And so the greatest impact I can ever have is when I'm dead. And I think because, number one, dead to self. And you know, but after I die, there will, hopefully if I finish faithful, there will be a greater appreciation for the things that I did while I was alive. And again, the reason I say that Jesus is the perfect example of everything. Because as he walked the earth, his life really wasn't as valuable as it is to us now if you're born again until he died. It was that death that gave the life that he lived value. And I don't know, if you're saved today, are you glad that he lived that way? Are you glad that he died? And you and I can experience the victory and of having, and I love this. You know, because think and see, this is one of the miracles of salvation, because Jesus said this. He said, "No man taketh my life from me." Now, Jesus is going to testify right here of the one of the most amazing powers in the Christian life. He said these words, "I have power to lay it down." That is one of the most greatest missing powers in Christianity today, the power to lay down one's life. But here it is. He said, but I have power to take it up again. And see, when we lay that life down, we lay it knowing we're a joint heir with Christ. And what we inherit by laying down our life is far greater than anything we ever get by holding on to it here. And the people we can impact, the people we can affect by laying down our life for his name's sake, we can give eternal value to people. The people that walk around us in darkness is because they have no light. And when we lay our lives down for his name's sake, this life, we're more valuable to them dead, laying down our life. You know, I'm speaking in the spiritual context. Because if we just go, I'm not talking about just going out killing yourself. I'm talking about laying, like the Bible says that, he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that loses life for my sake, the same shall save it. But when you lay that life down, and then guess what happens? What did Paul say? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But here it is, yet not I, but Christ which liveth in me. When that is laid down, then Christ lives in us. But you have to hear that from God. You know, they're convincing doctrinal arguments all over the world regarding why you should serve God and sacrifice for Christ. But until you hear that from God, you can't bear witness of his majesty. Because that's just too hard to contemplate. but as a witness of his majesty. And see, that is the witness that the world needs to see, a life that Christ really is life. You know, the people that I've been unable to affect sometimes for Christ, I understand that at the end of the day, people make their own choice. But when I'm living a life that represents me, they can't really see that life is Christ. But when I lay down my life, because I heard it from the voice of God, then they read, wow, at least to him, I know that to him, Christ is life. And they can take that witness and do what they want to do with it. And we see from Jesus Christ that God was his life. The will of God was the most important thing to Jesus Christ. We see that from the life that he lived. Because he could have called 12 legions of angels when things weren't working out for him in an earthly sense. Jesus had power to make himself prosperous. Jesus had power to live a complete victory over all his enemies, you know. I was talking to a believer the other day. I was talking about a kind of the deception of the American political type Christianity. Because, and here, I can't remember if I mentioned this last week, but now this is amazing if you think about this. I want you to think about the conversation Jesus had with Pilate. Now everybody's accusing Jesus. And here's Pilate. He says, don't you know that I have power to release you, and thou sayest not a word to me at all? Now this is the king. He wasn't the king, but this is the authority that can put Jesus to death. At this moment, I can't think of his actual position. But he says, I have power to release you, and you don't say anything, a word against me, a word to me. And Jesus said, catch this now. He said, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except that were given thee from heaven. Now here's the government saying, now Jesus, in your religious persecution, if you'll just, don't you know you ought to speak to me and I could help you? And yet we got scores of political type Christians that are pleading for the government to help them when they feel like they're persecuted. You know the reality? And here's the reality. If you're being persecuted religiously for Christ, God gave the government that power so that the reality of Jesus Christ can be manifested in your life. What if Jesus would say, yeah, Pilate, you're right. You know, Pilate, I just want to explain. I never really said I was like, I mean, I'm not making myself out to be a God. I'm not trying to rule the world. Would you speak to these people on my behalf? What if Jesus had to plead to the government authority to avoid going to the cross? There'd be no salvation. Hey, you know, and there's a lack of witnesses all over the world. They're pleading the governments for equal rights instead of realizing the great power and the liberty in Jesus Christ just to follow him. Because, the power to be persecuted has been allowed by Christ to show the reality that Jesus is the life. And all that was born that day. See, this is some great religious leader was not born when Jesus was born. Life itself was born. Hope was born. Everything was born. Morgan, work with me, son. Are you looking for an extra Bible in there so you can preach for me? Focus, we're almost done. Number three, back in our text here, witnesses of his majesty. Witnesses of his majesty, number three, have received a prophecy much greater than human experience. Witnesses of his majesty have received a prophecy much greater than human experience. Because after they said that, and said in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. And so we've got something more sure than what we physically experience. We've got a sure word of prophecy that came by as holy, and reading the last verse, for this prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. See, the word we have the rest in, this is more sure than human experience. We're a witness of his majesty, and we heard the word in the glory, but we have something more sure. We have a more sure word of prophecy. A witness of his majesty, understand that. In Romans chapter 10, and hold your place, we'll go back there in a moment to where we started. Romans 10 and verse number 8, the word of God says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in that heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth in the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? Or how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? You know, one of the most powerful things this world has to offer is through Christ is faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is a doorway to you and I to give us something much greater than human experience. You know, if it wasn't for the word of God, I can testify of the majesty of Christ because I, through faith, I was able to experience his majesty, which is far greater. I mean, to me, I don't know what it would be like to see Jesus personally, but I can't hardly handle it. It's so good right now sometimes. I can imagine what it would be like to actually see him. But the witnesses of his majesty say, you know what, we have something more sure. We were there. We weren't talking about fables. We witnessed it, but even as we witnessed it, we have a prophecy much greater than what we've personally experienced ourselves. You know, I was thinking, I wrote it down, you know, and you think about the Philippian jailer, you know, sometimes we say, we just read, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, you see, this is just one of them. What do you call those things? A test of your emergency Holy Ghost system. See, several years ago, I'd have been out of my mind. But see, I believe the Holy Spirit is so strong that whoever needs to hear, and actually, he's hearing a lot more than we think they're hearing. He's hearing. I had a little boy named Dennis Hammers, and he was so distracted one day, and he was disturbing everything going on in church, and he repeated everything I said. You'll be surprised what this boy's going to repeat one day, so don't let that bother you none. And the Lord's working. And so, see, that's the power of faith also, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, we say much, okay, we're talking about the fact that greater than human experience. We read the verse, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, the Philippian jailer, you know, we look at that decision. If you're, you know, we're talking about when Paul and Silas were in jail, and they sank at midnight, and all of a sudden God opened the prison doors, and the jailer was going to kill himself. He wouldn't. And Paul said, "Do yourself no harm. We're here." And in that moment, and the Bible said he came and asked for a light, trembling, and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Now we always just emphasize, just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, now shall we be saved, and that's true. But what we miss sometimes is that he understood the magnitude of what it meant to believe on Christ. Do you understand? He was about to kill himself rather than face the consequences of what could happen to him because he thought some believers that were supposed to be put to death were about to escape or had escaped. And as he weighed the consequences between that death that he was going to bring to himself, and he realized that he was ready to kill himself instead of face those consequences. And yet here's Paul and Silas willing to remain in jail and not run from the death that he was there to bring them. He said, man, I must be the one that's dead. Because he figured he had a death sentence on his life almost already. And these men had a death sentence on them. And he realized that I want the same death sentence they have. What must I do to be saved? There must really be life in what they have because they're not trying to escape the consequences of a faith in Jesus Christ because they have life itself. And what they had was expressed in a prophecy that is far greater than human experience. And this Philippian jailer, he witnessed the majesty of Christ as he worked in individuals and caused them to believe on Christ. Last of all, witnesses of his majesty They know the power of men being moved by the Holy Ghost. Notice verse 21. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We have something more sure than we can ever imagine. Because God, because the Holy Ghost moved on men to bring to us something far greater than our own human experience. When the Holy Ghost moves on men, God can bring life, hope, direction, and power beyond what we ever could imagine. And, of course, you know when I say men, I mean mankind in that way. You know, that's why the disciples in Acts chapter 1, they say, Lord, what would be the time when the Son of Man should come in his power? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times nor the seasons when the Son of Man will come into power. He said, but what you need to know is this. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, now the Lord is that Spirit. Now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You know, liberty is an amazing thing. You know, liberty is much different than freedom. Me and my daughter was talking about some of the differences that she's noticed being back in the United States. And, you know, even myself traveling back, you know, there's a difference in the racial type tone, you might say. But, you know, there's freedom here in Canada and there's freedom in the United States. But we're talking about, you know, there's a different liberty for a minority in Canada than there is in the United States. Both have freedom. But liberty is much different than freedom. Liberty has more power and more broad-ranging experience to do what we need to do. And in the Spirit of God, see, when you're saved, every child of God has ability and freedom to do what God wants him to do. But until we walk in the Spirit, we don't experience the liberty to do it. Because all we see is obstacles. It's just like two different people. Two different people look at the same problem. And they begin instructions to solve the problem. One person says, I can't. And so the other person says, I must. One person is obstructed and stopped. The other person has the liberty to solve the problem. One person says, okay, the snow's falling. I can't be to work on time. The other one says, wow, snow's falling. I'm going to have to get up early and I'm going to have to do this. The other one sees all the obstacles and they have the liberty to still be able to do what no one else can do. They make it. See, and the Lord is that liberty. You know, the world says that knowledge is power. However, the world fails to realize that there is no real knowledge without the fear of the Lord. Because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Because see, and that's why the world has so much information, but they don't have any power. You know, it's amazing. Just the number of things that happen in our society today. I mean, the people in what some would call the best of earthly life situations commit suicide. Upcoming actors commit suicide. We were talking about it, well, child, we were, Susan and I, we were getting our passports renewed, one of the child actors on there, and I said, I wonder what happened to him, and I think he's on drugs or something. That's the story of a lot of these childhood actors. And I think, man, it'd be great to have all that fame, all that money and ability, and most of them end up depressed and discouraged. And here's the thing, now catch this now. Wouldn't you think by now that there's enough childhood actor sad stories? Hey, Morgan, put that up, buddy. Wouldn't you think by now that there's enough childhood actor sad stories that there would be the wisdom to solve these problems? Wouldn't you think so? Wouldn't you think? I mean, the boys and I were talking about, since Samuel cut some of the professional baseball players, he didn't cut them. He's a barber, and he's not a knifer. did you still bring that switch button? No, I'm just kidding. He's talking about how they're taught money management classes to help them to manage money properly when they're getting ready to go to the pros. And you know what? Some of them still lose their money. Right now, and I know professional basketball players do it as part of their contract. They have to take these money management classes, and there's still basketball players, NFL players that made millions of dollars that are bankrupt, that are probably, believe it or not, in worse situation than you might be today. And they, at one time in life, they were millionaires. You would think that they, with all the wisdom, how come they cannot avoid that? Because that's not really wisdom, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And it says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Until there is a fear of the Lord, there's no real knowledge. There's information, and there's no, and knowledge leads to wisdom, and wisdom is the power to enact. And so the world has all this information surrounding them. But what's missing is men and women, boys and girls, being moved by the Holy Ghost. And see, witnesses of His Majesty, they know the power of men being moved by the Holy Ghost. See, when you witness His Majesty, again, you know, this is so much more than learning who can argue the best about what they believe. See, that's not what this is about. So we, as you know here, we're not here to argue about stuff. We're here to exalt the name of Jesus Christ, and He's the answer. Now, we can show principles. We can test what the Bible says, but you know the reason I'm really here after all these years? I'm just a witness of His Majesty. I'm amazed at the grace of God. You know, I remember Ann McHenry in a church I got saved in, she sang, I don't know if she wrote it, but she sang a song, I Stand Amazed at the Grace of Jesus. And Ann had a pretty rough life, and you know, and I appreciate that song now more than I ever have. And I stand amazed at the grace of Jesus. Because though I still need to learn how to be more humble, one of the things I'm thoroughly convinced of, it's not me that has brought any good thing into my life. I know it's the grace of God. And as much as my carnal flesh would like to take credit for some things I've done, I thank God for the grace of God. Being able to take me and use me, if I've helped anybody, encouraged anybody, it's by the grace of God. I was talking to a lady this morning on the phone in a distressing type, I mentioned a prayer meeting, abusive situation, and she said, just thank you so much. And I said, no, I said, it's not me, it's the grace of God. I said, only thing good that happened to me is God saved me and put His grace in me to give me direction to be able to say things that can be an encouragement or help to anybody at all. You know, and so, and, so God is great. God's the one that does it all. But, I want to encourage you today. I'll begin with the question. Have you witnessed His Majesty? And, because if you have witnessed His Majesty, that's what you need to go back and rebuild your foundation of. And that's what you need to testify of. Have you really been born again? I'm not asking you to pray a prayer one time, but have you been born again? Do you witness the majesty of Christ coming into your life and transforming your heart? You know, I was saying with someone the other day, you know, some of the things, you know, my wife and I were at the mall the other day, and a gentleman, a real nice old man, talked to us a long time, and I really appreciate him because he was sharing with us, and he was looking to impart into our life. And that's the, and I thought, Lord, that's what I try to do when I go to meet people. And he asked me, he shared some principles about his life and success, and he said, what's your dream job? And he said, I'm living it. And he said, what is it? And I said, I pastor a church. And he said, oh, that's a good job. A good person. And it really is my dream. You know, the only thing, I wish I was better at it. And I wish I could affect more people with it. But I'm thinking the dream that God has allowed me to live. And see, even stuff like this. We look at this hey, Morgan, you know, God loves you, man. And do you know right now, God is trying to reach out to you. Now see, this, to me, this is amazing. This is the power of Christ. And you're going to see it one day. He's smiling, by the way, in case y'all wondering. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm just trying to tell y'all something. That the reality of what we're here to do is this real, this important. See, it's not about keeping a perfectly religious, ordered service. Now, I would like it better, of course, if he wasn't distracting the service. But it gives me an opportunity to show some grace to him. This is why difficult things happen in our life, to show the grace of God to people. Now, my children wish I had this much grace when they were his age. Somebody said under their breath, facts. But unfortunately, I didn't start I'm not a perfect parent now, but so many things I've had to learn along the way. Because seeing as a younger parent, I was concerned about that religious order. You know, I got consumed. You know what I was more concerned with? Well, how's he making me look at his parent? Instead of thinking, you know what? Okay, Lord, you're allowing this for some reason. Because, okay, the Bible says train up a child in the way he should go. And so there's some training that has to take place from this. Eventually, what's going to happen, God has to get a hold of his heart. So I'm showing some grace today at this moment to show the reality of, because you think about it. Okay. Hey, Morgan, who's your papa? So who's your authority? You might not know what that word means. Who should you be listening to? Absolutely, good answer. Okay. Better answer. Well, he probably didn't know the verses yet. But here's a principle. See, here's the principle we listen. We know. How many people right now think he knows he shouldn't be acting like this? Praise you. How many people think you know? Yeah. Okay. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you know what God wants you to be doing with your life right now? You don't have to raise your hand for this one. And how many, I would ask you this, how many of you know that God is everywhere? So that means that right now, you and I could be acting exactly like he is in the presence of God. And sometimes I do. And I'm not, like I said, and you know what, and think about it. God's not the heavy in those situations. God is speaking, drawing. And like I said, if you're like him in this situation today, you know what God is saying? Work with me, son. I'm almost done. He's saying, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but then there are the ways of death. And see, the great, and then, and do you know why I can finally test it? God brought me back to what my life was all about, being a witness of his majesty. You know what the majesty of Jesus Christ is? You know what the majesty of the reality of Jesus Christ being born into the world? That God looked at me just like Morgan. And he looked at me coming to the world and knowing what I should do and say, you know what? I know what I'm supposed to be doing. But let's get real now for a second. I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm going to do it my own way as long as I can get away with it. You know what I'm saying? And that was taking place right now. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when I think about the birth of Christ, what a majestic thing the love of God is. They would come down for a person like me that would know God's will and think what I'm supposed to be doing and still want to do it my own way. And man, when I witnessed that majesty, the majesty of God, God transformed my life in so many different ways. And so that's why I go out and share with people a witness of his majesty. You know, the power of the love of God, the power of the grace of God, the authority of God, and the magnitude of hearing God's voice. And what God has given me is so much greater than human experience. And in the greatest times of my life is when I've been moved by the Holy Ghost. If you have a chance, I'm going to go ahead and close instead of I've written it down to go here. But in Acts chapter 8, take some time to read about Philip when he went to the chariot and witnessed to him. And Morgan, don't do that, buddy. Don't do that, buddy. And he was witnessing an Ethiopian eunuch. And after he baptized him, the Spirit of God just caught him up. It took him away in eunuch's own way. That's the power. The power of the Holy Ghost moves men and can do things. The Holy Ghost can do things in your life beyond what you can comprehend. But we just have to simply yield to God and let God do it. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for time with you today. We thank you for loving us, Bill May. We thank you for loving us today. We thank you for just a great joy.